That's the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. These days fashioned for me, when as yet there are none of them.
It's been a couple of months since there were any questions put in the question box. I hope moving location hasn't discouraged anyone. It's on the back table, and you're welcome to put any additional questions in it. This one actually arose out of a conference, I think, that took place with statements made by various people, and so it prompted questions on transgenderism. And so there are a couple of things here that deal with that particular issue. What should an adult do if he or she is having an identity crisis? What should a parent do if a child says he feels like a member of the opposite sex? And there are several things related to this type of thinking that we hope to cover this evening. This is a topic that has surfaced in recent months and years. I guess probably it may go back as long as 20 or 30 years, but it seems to have received more notoriety in these last few years than ever before. It's not a topic often addressed in Scripture. The topic is not widely dealt with because there was no such technology that exists to affect a change in one person or individual until the 20th century. However, I think there is a principle or two from the Scriptures that deal with this, and possibly you may have friends who are asking you questions, or that just comes up in conversation. Let's first of all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. As part of the law of Moses, and of course we recognize we are not under the law of Moses, but there are several things that are stated as principles from the old. But we are not, of course, under their worship or under their law. We are under New Testament to Jesus Christ. But in their law, it says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Well, there may not be much said, but what is said is pretty strong, is pretty powerful. Why does this passage exist? Regardless of the reason behind the command, it was a command to Israel. It may have had something to do with the worship of Venus, and some commentaries suggest this. When women donned the military clothing of men, and the men dressed like women. Or it may not have anything to do with that. Obviously, if all of the men had beards, they would look kind of silly in women's clothing, don't you think? However, not all men at all times have worn beards, even though they may have in many cases. When Shakespeare wrote in the late 1500s to early 1600s, he had the character Portia impersonate a judge, a male. For purposes of the story development. So even though there may be quite a few men who have had facial hair, certainly not all of them have, and of course it can always be removed. Most commentaries suggest that cross-dressing had an immoral purpose in mind. And one male was considered despicable because he dressed as a woman in order to be with women. And as you can see, that would definitely have an immoral purpose in mind. This is a principle that is part of the old law, Deuteronomy 22:5, but the idea is not related to just that law. The idea is one that relates to men and women in general. And the idea seems to be that gender identity is something that should not be tampered with. By the way, it's interesting that there has been one thing that has brought out the difference of the two covenants almost more than anything else, and that's homosexuality. We got people saying, oh, the Bible says you can't eat shrimp. The Bible says you can't do this and that. And then sometimes we point out to them that's the old law. Sometimes, as in the case of Deuteronomy 22:5, they came to that conclusion on their own. Oh, well, that's a law we're not under. Finally, are we getting through on that point? You know, we still have people in religion who keep going back to the Old Testament, Testament to try to justify their practices. But if nothing else, maybe something good that has come out of this entire mess is that perhaps people will distinguish the old from the new. But gender identity should be maintained under any covenant. And in the New Testament, there are comments in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the length of men's hair and women's hair. That too relates to gender and the purpose being given for a woman to have a covering. But let's go to this idea that was raised in the scripture reading tonight from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Now, it is true that there are birth defects. There are birth anomalies where someone is born without arms, or perhaps twins are connected at birth. But no male was ever born a female, and no female ever came into the world as a male. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and to say basically, well, I'm a man, but I think I ought to be a woman, is to tell God you made a mistake. And God didn't make a mistake. If there's a mistake that's been made, we know who made it, and it wasn't God. There have been a few cases of a hermaphrodite where a person is born with both male and female apparatus, but a choice is usually made right there at birth and not by the child as to which one that individual will be. But again, this is a rare, extremely rare occurrence. Now, what should a parent do if a child is having an identity crisis? Well, what's meant by that? You mean a 5-year-old boy suddenly says, I think I should be a girl? Have you ever thought that in your lifetime? Have you ever known of anybody else who thought that? I have mentioned that to a few people. One well known for working with children, that one of the people at this particular conference I alluded to earlier said, well, I've known I was a female since I was 5. No, that doesn't happen. People who work with children will tell you that doesn't happen. As we said a few weeks ago, I can remember being in kindergarten and the teacher saying, which is your right hand? And only half the people knew. And then she said, turn around, now which one is it? Well, I just left my hand in the air. But a lot of people turned around and raised their left hand. They can't tell a right from a left, but they know what gender they are? Are you serious? That is a preposterous thing. Children are not thinking along those lines. Now, I'm not sure who I get to thank for this. I think it was my mother. thought it would be cute, I believe I was in kindergarten, for me to show up at a Halloween party dressed as a girl. I had to wear a skirt with an elastic waistband. And although I wasn't sure I really wanted to do this, I remember thinking something like, well, so this is how the other half lives. But anyway, for the next couple of days after I got home from school, I think I wore that skirt for a couple times just because of the novelty on it, because it was such an odd experience. But you know what? I didn't go back to school and trying to find a boyfriend as a result of that. I didn't have an identity crisis or get confused as to who I was. Furthermore, we have different ideas as we're growing up. How many girls have you known or have been called a tomboy? Why? Because they like to do some of the things the guys did. They didn't necessarily grow up and say, I want to be a guy, but they liked those particular things at that particular time. They were not having an identity crisis. They grew up and got married to men. Our current society is way too obsessed on this subject. A parent should tell a child, if one actually indicates confusion, that you are what God made you, and that is what you will stay. There's way too much emphasis on this subject, almost, I think, encouraging children to try to be something that they're not. And the reason for that, as far as I can tell, is to encourage homosexuals and to encourage homosexuality. And in fact, becoming a member of the opposite sex may have some roots in homosexuality, frankly. The response should be, you are not what you are saying you would like to be, and you need to get used to being who you are. Feelings will either dictate the way we live, or we are going to have to control our feelings. The same reason is cited for divorce. Well, I just don't feel love anymore, and therefore I'm entitled to leave this person and go be with someone else. That's all based upon how I feel. And what we're talking about with transgenderism is the same thing. Are you going to be dominated by your feelings, whether you imagine them correctly or not, or are you going to be in charge of your emotions? Your feelings need to be in line with what you are, who you are, and what God's Word says. And they cannot be allowed to lead you around. You must be in charge of them. So often we hear the idea, well, I feel that God just wants me to be happy. Yes, He does. But He also wants you to keep your word. And if you promised to take someone for better or for worse, you need to honor that, whether you feel like it or not. Your feelings are not God. Your feelings are subservient, and you need to be in control of them. Likewise, it's the case with feelings about gender. If you have entertained those feelings, you need to say to yourself, but that is not who I am, and I need to get my life in harmony with the facts, not try to get it the other way around. Now, some of you may have not heard of this, but I think it's just another extension of this particular problem. How many of you have heard about the transabled? Anybody? A few people? Okay. Feelings are leading some to choose to be handicapped. They are disabled by choice, not by chance. And that's what some have chosen to do. For example, Jason in Canada said He never felt that his right arm was part of his body, so he chopped it off. Yes, he chopped it off. What? He should have said to himself, am I nuts for thinking my right arm doesn't belong to my body? That's what he should have said, but instead, he took it off so that he doesn't have to have it on anymore. Another woman in Los Angeles felt that she should be blind, and so she made herself blind. Now, why would anybody do that? You know, if somebody is saying, I feel that I ought to be this or that, that there's something wrong with exalting such feelings. And they need to deal with reality. There's actually a name for this. BIID, Body Integrity Identity Disorder. But it's just one more crazy step that some of these other things have left to. And if you don't understand how people can think this way, good. That means you have a good shot at being normal. And you probably are. But we need to recall Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I don't know how better to say what Solomon just wrote there. If your feelings are at the top of your life, and you're going to sway and go whichever way they lead, who knows where you're going to end up? Changing genders, taking off some fingers or an arm. Who knows where that's going to end up? Feelings are not reliable oftentimes. Now, God gave us feelings for a reason, to support proper emotional responses to the truth, but not to be haywire, not to be paramount, not to lead us in all kinds of bizarre and strange directions. And we might also point out that we have that same problem in religion. Many people have taken the Bible and essentially closed it and said, I'm going to go where my feelings take me. Well, your feelings may take you away from truth. And that is fatal. That's fatal. That's not bad. It's fatal. So if you trust in your own heart, I haven't done what the Bible says. I haven't repented of my sins and I haven't been baptized, but I feel so close to God. Well, that'll take you to where you're not going to feel close to God ever. We need to go by the truth, to walk wisely and listen to the Word of God. Now, this question was thrown in too. If I can't be what I want to be, I don't want to live. How do you respond to that? I would suggest with tough love and say, you don't get to have your own way all the time by throwing a tantrum. Children are not taught that a lot of times today. They're coddled. They're brought up to say, you can do whatever you want. We'll give in if you threaten us too highly. Probably thinking like this emanates from the permissive society that we'll live in. I'll hold my breath until I turn blue. And then, okay, don't do that. And so we make concessions. What this basically says is, if I can't have what I want, I'll kill myself. That's not a mature way to deal with the situation. You need to come to terms, if anybody has this ideology, you need to come to terms with who you are. Well, but I feel like I'm a woman and I can't stand the thought of men, or vice versa. Fine, stay single. And just live with yourself that way. Should you marry someone of the opposite sex in your current frame of mind, you're only going to make both of you miserable. Should you cohabit with one of your own gender, you will be committing homosexuality, which is plainly condemned in the scriptures in such passages as Genesis chapter 19, 4 and 5, Jude 7, and a lot of verses in between those. Should you choose to kill yourself in a state of rebellion against God, You will join the rich man in torments. What do you think you're going to gain by that? You will join the rich man in torments where you will await the final judgment. You have the power and freedom to make decisions now. You will not have any power or freedom then. After your life is over, everything has been decided. You have caused it to be decided the way it will be. And there will be no changing that. You can't say, I'm in torment by mistake. God didn't make that mistake. You can't say, I should be somewhere else. I don't want to be here. Do you think anybody who's in torment wants to be there? The rich man certainly didn't. Nobody does. But you will not be able to change that even one iota. He couldn't even get a drop of water to be placed upon his tongue. You will not be in control. But you are now, and you need to use that in the appropriate and positive manner. This is the time to sort through whatever problem you are having and resolve it. You can't do anything about it when your life is over. You can't make any changes then. And we might just notice the part that I mentioned about staying single, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, and he had been talking about, of course, marriage and the question about divorce and then marrying again. But in verse 12 of Matthew 19, we read, "For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb." You see, they don't get any choices. They were born that way. They may wish they were a normal, healthy male, but they're not. And there are some who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. There are some who choose to be single for whatever reason. It may have something to do with transgenderism, or it may not. It may be because they have unscripturally divorced and have no authority to remarry. Or it may not. But whatever the reason, there are some who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. And so if you have too many troubles and too many trials and conflicts in this regard, that is a viable option. Now, a final thought concerning this matter. Let's say that having looked at all these scriptures, that somebody says, well, I just don't see Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 having any application, period. Especially since it's part of the Old Testament. Okay. Maybe you haven't been impressed with Psalm 139 verses 13 through 16. Okay. Maybe, despite what Proverbs 28:26 tells you about your feelings not being a valid source of authority, you have convinced yourself that only you know what's best for you. Not even God knows what's best. Only you do. That would be an exaltation of self and making yourself an idol, wouldn't it? But let's say that's where you are. All right, suppose all of that is true. Nevertheless, where is your authority for changing genders? If you care about God at all, you still have to deal with Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And you have to have Bible authority. There has to be something that authorizes a practice in the New Testament, or that allows it, or that implies it, or that commands it. There has to be, or there's an example of it, there has to be some kind of authority before you launch into doing something, especially of that great of a magnitude as to having a sex change operation. You have to establish from the scriptures that having such an operation, you have the authority of God to do that. Now, where are you going to find that in the Bible? Where is the authority in order to do that? Where is your logical argument The conclusion of which is the scriptures teach that sex change operations are permissible. Where are you going to find that? What argument are you going to make? If you cannot do that, it doesn't matter whether you think the argumentation on the other side is invalid. You still have to have your case. And if you haven't got one, then you cannot do it with God's approval. There is no case for such a thing that many are delving into and trying to have for themselves. Now, anyone here or anyone viewing or anyone listening through some other medium is welcome to make a case, and we will consider it carefully. But there has to be a scriptural argument. It cannot be, I think this is what I ought to do, or I just know that this is me, the true me, trying to get out. That doesn't work. Proverbs 28:26. You have to have authority for proceeding in what you're proposing to do. And unless you have that, you cannot consider it. You have to have the authority of God for anything that we teach or anything that we practice. And it is simply not there. Well, I tried to find more information on this subject, but there's not a lot written about it that I've been able to discover. In fact, after I completed all these things, I took a look to see what other things were available, and everybody used the same verses I did, so I didn't help too much. But if there may be more material available, there may be more people intending to write on this subject. I hope so, because people need to quit being confused and thinking that they would like to be a female if they're a male, or vice versa. God made us who we are, and we must recognize that fact and deal with that fact.